You're listening to the Sprues and Brews podcast, your weekly podcast looking at all things Warhammer.
Hello and welcome to episode 79 of the Sprues and Brews podcast. My name is Dave and I'm joined once again by Matt.
Hello, hello.
And Jay.
Hello, hello, hello.
How are we both?
Not too bad. I'm a bit bored of being in the house, Dave.
Yeah, the social distancing and isolation stuff. It's not very fun, is it really?
Just treat it as if you're on a secret undercover mission for the Inquisition. Surveillance.
Surveillance in your own house.
In your own house, yeah. Looking for heresy in your own house.
Well, we're all now officially working from home, so we've seen a lot of the same four walls. And once again, we are recording using the powers of Skype. But we've still got some stuff to talk about this week, even though it has been a little bit of a quieter week for the hobby with everything going on to close down. This week, we're going to be actually picking our top three things to do whilst in isolation, to do with Warhammer. We've also got all the latest news, and we're going to have a little bit of a discussion later on as well about continuing the hobby, even though we can't get out and we can't roll some dice, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But before we get stuck into all that, let's have a chat about what we've been doing in the hobby for the past 7 days. Jay, would you like to start us off?
Yes, mine would be really, really quick. I've done nothing for the hobby in the last 7 days. You'd think, nothing at all. You'd think with the factory being closed and working from home, I've never been so busy, so I've not even had a second to do any hobby. Every now and then I'll see the Warhammer community and Games Workshop posts about things being delayed and production being stopped, which is understandable but disheartening when I was so close to the elves. So that's been pretty much my entire hobby, is just been lamenting the elves now being pushed back a bit more. I'm gonna go on mute now and cry for a bit.
I've got
a whole list of things I'd love to be doing. I've got loads of projects lined up right in front of my desk right now. In front of me I have my Elfin Union Blood Bowl team, which is about 40% painted. I want to get them finished. I've got my Necromunda Enforcer gang sitting here undercoated, ready for. I've even got the color schemes, the paints, how I'm going to do it all mapped out, but I haven't had a chance to start that yet. I've got a squad of Dark Angel Terminator Knights over there that I also want to put some paint on. But most of all, I want to carry on painting the Harlequins. Hopefully next week I'll be able to get around to it.
Excellent. Well, I have had a quite quiet week for hobbying as well. Getting used to working from home and it being incredibly busy as everybody flocks online to buy everything because they can't go to the shops. However, I have started painting my Necromunda gang. So my Goliaths are looking pretty cool. I've settled on my starter gang. I tell you what, I loved building the new models from the Forgeborn box.
They look really nice.
They're really cool. I prefer building them than the standard ones. But I've only got one of each, one of the Stimmers, one of the Forgeborn in my first gang, but obviously I might be able to recruit some more during the course of the campaign. So I'm trying to batch paint them. So I'm taking them colour by colour on each model. I've done the armour on half of them, all the skin. Probably going to do the weapons next, I think. Really enjoying painting those. And that's about it, though, really. I've not really done anything else in the hobby, per se. Although I have bought myself some Castellan robots, which I'm looking forward to building this weekend, to add to my Adeptus Mechanicus and their babysitter, the Data. What's he called? The Data.
Data Smith, dude. Is he?
Data Smith, Cybernetica Data Smith. There you go. So looking forward to building those this weekend and adding some space robots to my AdMech army. Awesome. Matt, what have you been up to?
Well, I've got this Warhammer 3-6 challenge, so I've got to do some Warhammer every single day. That's just the way it is. So yeah. I've started reading Saturnine, the new book by Dan Abnett, and it is amazing. Already, I'm about 100 pages in it already. It's like the best heresy book I've read. It's amazing. I've also been working on my Dunland army for Middle Ooh. Earth. So I've got them all out, sprayed them all up. I've started on all the Wildmen, so the character and the kind of basic infantry. They've got the base colours and washers going for some highlights, and then should have them done tomorrow.
You managed to get the Crabane in as well, didn't you, before the lockdown?
Well, that'll be in the news shortly, but yeah, they're on my desk to build as well.
That's really good. That's really lucky as well.
They obviously were
keen to get them in the hands of gamers early, so that you didn't miss out. Brill. That's really cool. I've actually not long finished the first Horus Heresy. I nearly said End Times. Siege of Terror book. So I need to pick up the second one whenever that'll be now.
What did you think of it?
I really enjoyed it. Bearing in mind, I've not really kept track of the Horus Heresy books. I really enjoyed Solar War. It was really cool. Really enjoyed it.
There's not that much kind of outside knowledge that you need. I think it's a good jumping in point.
Yeah, I thought so, definitely.
I find with the Horus Heresy books, you can go back and fill in the gaps as well. Sometimes the book is more enjoyable knowing what's coming, if you know what I mean.
There's a few nice twists in the Solar War, aren't there?
Oh, I'd read that series in order. It makes sense to read that series in order. But then, you know, I've gone back and picked up books. I've read a few Iron Warrior books because there's so many different sort of storylines that are threaded through the Horus Heresy series. You don't need to read them all in chronological order, I don't think. Yes, you need to read the individual storyline in chronological order, but you can sort of pick and choose which sort of themes you want to look at, I find.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool.
Excellent. Well, we've managed to get some hobby in this week. So we're going to take a slight pause at this point, and then we're going to come back with all of the latest news. Matt, what have we got in this week's news?
Well, I have got news, but unfortunately it is more bad news. I am the kind of bearer of bad news at the minute. Obviously, the UK is in full lockdown now due to the coronavirus pandemic, and Games Workshop have announced they've closed their factory, all their stores and all their distribution, which, you know, is understandable. You know, they don't want their staff at risk. And that, unfortunately, comes before, you know, models. As much as some people might be disappointed they can't get, you know, the Gazgul box, really, you know, their staff's much more important than that, isn't it?
Yeah.
And let's be honest, we've been waiting for a plastic Gazgul for a while, so what's another few weeks, really? At least we can oogle over the pictures of him.
I'm actually waiting for... there's been a few Games Workshop announcements over the last few days, like you say, regarding the coronavirus and this plague that's upon us. I haven't yet seen the news alert that says the Ultramarines have been dispatched and are on their way. I'm pretty sure that happens quite early on in the Dark Imperium series.
Yeah, that's true. Gulliman will turn up at some point. It'll be fine.
I'm waiting for the propaganda leaflets to drop now.
So with this as well, obviously that's going to hit all of Games Workshop's releases and scheduled, and I'm sure all the stuff they had planned on Warhammer Community as well has probably had a bit of a knock. But G-dubs are still working from home. Warhammer TV is still going strong as well. So they have turned the entire archive onto free. So you don't have to be a subscriber anymore to watch or comment or watch any of the old shows, which is really cool.
So, Matt, does that mean that everybody would get to watch mine and your epic encounters on Warhammer TV for free?
They could indeed. You know what? We should put together some kind of post on the website chronicling all these battles that we've had.
Yes, all the games I've lost against you on Warhammer TV.
Games as well, isn't it, Dave?
I've only played them twice on Warhammer TV, to be fair. But never mind.
Yeah, so I mean, this is another nice gesture from Games Workshop. They're making this free to watch, especially when people have got a lot of time on their hands at the minute.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a really nice gesture.
What they've been doing as well is Hangout and Hobby 5 days a week. So live from Peachy, Nick Baton, Wade Price and Ben Bailey's own homes streaming live Hangout and Hobby. And it's been a brilliant show. I think they had about 16,000 viewers yesterday.
Wow, that's very good.
A really, really nice kind of more intimate format. So, yeah, I do recommend watching that because it is great fun.
I haven't managed to watch it yet, but I would like to watch it whilst I've got a couple of days off. However, I did see the GIF doing the rounds of Peachy pouring tea from a tea, what are they called?
A teapot, Dave.
A teapot, that's what I was after. I don't know why I was struggling to think of what that object was called.
Day four of isolation, forgetting the human language.
Yeah, well, the real star of Hangout and Hobby has been Peachy's wife. Giving him a beat in the background and bringing him cups of tea. Yeah.
That's the balance of life, that.
So, yeah, it's well worth a watch. Now, here's where I'd normally talk about all the awesome new releases coming up, but again, there's not a pre-order this week because the factory is closed. It was going to be Blackstone Fortress Deadly Alliance, which features Azote. Azote, whose allegiance can change over the course of the battle and can kind of join your party.
Oh, cool. That's cool.
Yeah, so it looks like it could be that he doesn't trust you, so you roll on a random chart to see what he does. So that's quite a cool mechanic.
I'm really looking forward to seeing what keywords he'll have for 40k.
Well, a lot of the Blackstone Fortress stuff has been unaligned.
Yeah.
But it's so really cool model. And that kills down Dave's theory, but you never know. Back in the day, these were the heralds of the Tyranids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were.
Some sort of slave race, weren't they?
They were, yeah. I believe this is a free Zote, though. He's not under the influence of the Hive Mind.
Cool.
Freezer.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that looks really cool. Again, don't know when that's out now. It might be a while. But, yeah.
At least 2 weeks, I think.
I'd be banking on longer than that personally, but yeah. We'll see what happens. I believe a couple of weeks, haven't we? And then they're going to make an announcement to see if it continues. So
yeah,
I wouldn't hold your breaths because I know a lot of other countries have been in this kind of lockdown for quite a lot longer, haven't they?
Yeah, they have.
Yeah, but you know, at least we've seen a hint of what's coming. Black Library have got a nice thing on at the minute. Every week they're going to have an audio book for 99p.
Bargain.
And this week is I'm Slaughter by Dan Abnett, the first of the Beast Arises series.
Oh, it's a good book, that is. I've read a bit of the Beast Arises series. It's very, very enjoyable. It's sort of set in, I think it's in the 32nd millennium. So it's after the Horus Heresy, but the Horus Heresy is still sort of a recent memory for mankind. And they're now sort of like rebuilding. It's very good.
Yeah, so for 99p, that's definitely worth a punt, isn't it? So you have to download the Black Library app on your mobile to get that. But yeah, I'm going to be doing that. And then I think every week they're going to rotate what the 99p book is, which is a really nice touch.
Yeah, that's really good.
We saw the first concept art for miniatures from Warhammer The Old World.
This was out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting to see concept art.
No, so the Kislev Ice Guard. These look so cool, don't they?
Such very a cool, cool theme. I mean, the Kislev as well. They were an army you could collect and fight with in the old fantasy edition, but they were like a fringe army. They weren't very well supported. They had a really, really nice model range that came out quite late into the life of Warhammer Fantasy. And yeah. I think it came a small Warhammer army book that I'm not sure if it came with a copy of White Dwarf, actually.
I think it was free with White Dwarf, yeah.
I remember getting that issue, yeah.
Yeah, so it's really, really cool to see like a fringe army like that brought into the limelight, as it were.
Well, I wonder if this means that a lot of the armies are going to be, could we see like Araby and Far Cathay, who are always, you know, armies that you always wanted to see, but yeah. You know, obviously they've got round to Hobgoblins, Chaos Dwarves, you know, that kind of stuff.
That would be cool. Yeah. It'd be interesting because they have in a few weeks ago, they showed you like the map they were building, weren't you? Which sort of has the sort of, you can sort of see some of the different factions on that map that might be included. So maybe there's some clues on there.
Yeah. Now, the article mentions that the concept art is by Mark Bedford, who is part of Forge World. So I think that kind of does confirm that this is coming from the kind of Forge World division. But don't forget that specialist games sit under Forge World and do plastic kits. So it doesn't necessarily mean it's all resin. I'd probably bank on them having plastic kits for this.
Yeah, and... Okay. There's also, they're just as frantically pumping out new models and stuff like that as well. So it wouldn't be a very, you know, you're going to get a lot of content for this, I think. I don't think you're going to have to wait a long time.
No, I'm excited. Well, we've got 3 years to wait until it comes out, but yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. When it comes out, it'll be at the rate of the other main games.
That's interesting you say that, Matt, because I was fully expecting this to be like the Horus Heresy and all be resin.
Well, Horus Heresy and all resin, though. We've got plastic custodians, we've got plastic space marines, plastic contemptor.
I actually think, especially if you look at the Necromunda stuff, some of the plastic, you know, the plastic gangs, the quality of plastic sculpts now, I think it surpasses resin in some regard. So
yeah.
And yeah, also, if it is all resin, and if this is going to be like similar to the old rank and file edition of the game, it's going to cost you a fortune if it's all resin.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I think this will be plastic kits because they'll want people to get into the game. And, you know, let's face it, we're all going to start an army for this, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely. I know the Kislev is, my brother was always a big fan of the Kislev army. So I think he's very interested in this new concept art.
Yeah, I'm holding out for the polar bear cavalry. I'm sure they used to have something like that back in the day.
Yeah, they used to. I think was it the queen? I can't remember what her name was now. She used to ride on the polar bear, I believe.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They had the winged lances, were they? The like Mongolian like cavalry.
Yeah, pretty they cool. Were really nice models
with the feathers on the back. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they had the kind of like light cavalry ones as well.
Yeah.
With kind of scimitars. Yeah, it's gonna be really cool. So, yeah, so obviously that's a few years away, but hopefully we see kind of more of this drip-fed, like they did with the Sisters of Battle.
Yeah. Who knows? They may do like a limited edition model like they did with the Sisters available at an event or something like that, you know, just to keep the enthusiasm up while we wait.
That'd be cool. With Carl Franz or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. So, yeah, speaking of previews, though, now, so originally there was going to be a big reveal at Adepticon. That's not happening anymore. And then Warhammer Community, we're going to cover it in some way. They've now announced they're going to stream the live preview on Twitch. And simultaneously, they're going to have the posts on Warhammer Community as well. So the same kind of format you'd get at a show, but you can watch it, which is really cool. So that is 2 p.m. UK time on Saturday. I think the Twitch stream starts about 1:45, so... yeah, tune in for that. And then I think the following week, they've got the second half of it as well. So even though the factory and the office is closed, via the magic of the internet, Warhammer Community are getting that out there to us, which is really cool.
And you know what? I don't think I'm going out anywhere. So
no, I don't have any plans.
Be watching that.
Yeah. And then, yeah, there was one more kit that was on pre-order, the Kraybane from Forge World that magically arrived at my doorstep like the day before lockdown. So I think obviously they knew that the office was going to close, and I think they obviously just sent out the pre-orders early, which is a nice gesture from them.
Very nice.
So I have done an unboxing video on the site if you want to order some. Unfortunately, you're flat out of luck until the factory's open again. But yeah, they're really nice models.
Brilliant.
And that is all the news we've got today, Dave. That's quietish one, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Well, there was still some bits in there. So, and it's still clocked over 10 minutes, which I think are longer than when you leave me with the new segments when you're not around. So, yeah, that's fine. Right. In a slight change of schedule, we're actually going to take a pause and come back with our top three, and all will become apparent once we finish the top three. So we are asking each other what our top three things to do in isolation in regards to the Warhammer hobby would we recommend? So quite an interesting one this week. Obviously, very current news affair. I'm going to start us off with my third choice. And one thing I have been making more notes on, and I hope to put a post on the website very soon, is I am working on some lore for my Slaanesh Age of Sigmar Haish campaign army.
Oh, you know, I did not know this.
Yeah. So hoping to have it on the website. Maybe this weekend, hopefully. I'm trying to decide on what I'm going to be building and painting first, and who sort of my general's going to be. And it also, because what I'm also doing a lot of is, obviously, I'm collecting the Slaanesh army. It's not really been a Chaos Guard, I know, that much about. So I've been reading quite a lot of stuff online, and I need to ask you guys actually for some novel recommendations on learning more about Slaanesh, and maybe some inspiration on the search for Slaanesh, and how what would be happening in Haish that would tie into my army, really.
Cool.
So yeah, I think that it'll make a quite a nice article as well, and a nice theme to my force, and a good reason to be hunting some Lumineth and some Ossiarch Bone Reapers. So that's my third choice. Matt, what is your third choice?
Well, I have really enjoyed painting some Necromunda gangs recently. I've been working on my bounty hunters, and I quickly rattled through some Dalak, which are gorgeous models to paint up. But yeah, my most favourite thing I've done this year so far is the Zone Mortalis scenery. I've built and painted about 1.5 boxes worth. I've got about half a box to paint and then another box to build. And then with that, should have a massive array of scenery then for a really dense Necromunda board. Because we had a game, didn't we, Dave? And I think that kind of claustrophobic corridors really adds to the game, doesn't it?
It absolutely does, yes. Yeah, because it's quite easy to pin your opponent's fighters as well. So lots of line of sight blocking terrain is really cool. And it's quite hard if you've got quite a lot of open areas in Necromunda. For you guys who are just want to be in close combat, like I had a guy who had a two-handed axe and no weapon, it was quite difficult for him to get up close and personal. But he managed to hide behind some corners and then jump out down some corridors and stuff. So it all really adds to the effect.
Yes, and it's gorgeous scenery as well. I think it's the best scenery Games Workshop have done. Sorry, Ray. Yeah.
Your third choice, Jay?
My third choice? So, we can't play Warhammer together. We can't get around the table and roll dice together. But there are so many good Warhammer computer games that we can all play together. I think that's one way to pass this isolation. We've got the great Warhammer Total War games.
Yes.
We've got the Warhammer Vermintide games. We've got the Warhammer Dawn of War games. There's some turn-based strategy games, the Mechanicus one and the...
There's a Mechanicus one. There's a Inquisition one, I think.
Yeah, there is an Inquisition one. There's also, what's that one?
Gladius?
Yeah, that one there. What was it called, Dave?
Gladius.
Yeah, that one. The one with the Necrons in it.
The Inquisitor one, I would say, is a little bit like Diablo, that kind of isometric action game.
We've also got Space Hulk, Deathwing. There's now the Underworlds game that's on there.
And that is basically the full Underworld game ported to Steam, essentially.
Yeah. So if you've got an internet connection, you've got a headset with a microphone, get online, play some games, start a Warhammer Total War campaign in the old world, have some massive battles.
Yes, sounds good. Number
three.
I'm sold on that.
My second choice is quite similar to Matt's, actually. For a very long time now, I've been meaning to work on some terrain and some boards. And when we were playing Necromunda, Matt, it really made me want to build up all my Sector Mechanica stuff and get that painted. And I've got loads of barrels and stuff. It would be more of an open area than your Zone Mortalis, but it'd provide different sort of games. I also have four of the big City Fight boards that they can be built on top of. So I'd like to get those. I undercoated them, I think, but I never got round to painting them. So if the weather stays like this, I might get the big brush out and get those done. I haven't got space for a massive game board at the moment, but potentially a little table for Necromunda, I might be able to do that.
Well, that's it. Necromunda is quite good because you can play in the claustrophobic tunnels or in like the Sector Mechanica scenery, and it's more kind of vertical kind of fighting then, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. What would be really cool is if we mix the two. That'd be ace.
Yeah.
On a really big board. That's the dream. Your second choice, Matt?
So my second choice, I've been wanting to do a tournament for Middle Earth for a while, and the main thing that stopped me is that I haven't really got a painted Middle Earth army. So I want to get, while this lockdown period's on, get my Dunland painted. I've been working on those every night this week. And I think, I reckon in a couple of weeks I can get an army done. I've done it before. So I, and they're not massive armies, Lord of the Rings, either. It's not like you've got a massive model count.
No.
It's just kind of help in the kind of getting an army battered through.
Well, you've already made an awesome start.
Yeah, so I've done the kind of Wildmen. I mean, they're all various shades of brown, but I thought I'd start with them because they're the least interesting one. Then where the kind of the Dunlendings are kind of more kind of like Viking looking, so chainmail armor and red cloaks and stuff. And to be fair, they'll probably be painted a very similar way to my Sisters of Battle. Do the cloaks with the airbrush because cloaks are awesome with that. And then it's just a case of doing metal then.
Fantastic. Excellent stuff. Jay, round to your second choice.
My second choice. So we can't buy any new rule books at the moment. We can't, you know, no new army books coming out, no new model releases coming out. So why don't you flex your creative muscles in your imagination and come up with some homebrew rules? Create some, you know, have a think about your own kind of units you might want to build, some war scrolls, have a play around, maybe a new army idea, a new race, who knows? You may just stumble upon something that, you know, you might be able to convert up an army for in the future, if you can, once we can start buying things again. And who knows where that might lead. I remember back in the day, me and my brother, we always used to create like little characters, and you know, there didn't used to be rules or models that represented certain units in the background. We'd just write rules ourselves for them. You just have a bit of fun with that.
That sounds really good. We should create a character for each of our armies for this campaign then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I say it's just it lets you think more about the faction, you know, more about, like you say, your own character rather than these out the box type characters. Just go crazy.
This is one of the reasons I really like. We spoke about it, I think it was 2 weeks ago when the last Sisters Wave came out with the multi part commander, like HQ choice.
Yeah.
I so hope we see that more going forward, so you can create your own character and give it a name and go to town.
Yep.
Cool.
I mean, well, that's it. There's that many. I mean, when we were at the seminar at Warhammer World, Matt, and they were talking about the Sisters of Battle, and they talked about how they got so many of the orders in the book, but they mentioned so many different orders in the background which don't currently have rules to expand on in the future. Pick up one of those orders, write some rules for it.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. We played some games over Christmas with Ben Bailey, who's made his own chapter of Space Marines, the Jade Paladins. With the whole, he's written some like stories about them and all the lore and background. I think that's a really cool thing to do.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I really like that. Great stuff. Round two, our first choice is mine. I'm afraid one of us was going to have a slightly boring one, and it's going to be me. It's the perfect time to get some paint on models that I really need to paint. So
You've always got models you really need to paint, Dave.
I do always have models that I really need to paint. So it's the backlog. Just tackle the backlog, and that's exactly what I'm going to be doing. Once I've got these Necromunda done, I'm going to work on my Castellan robots, and I've got some other AdMech stuff already undercoated, ready to be painted. Because, you know, I really want to take my AdMech up to 2K. And then, really, maybe I should start turning my attention to some of the Stormcast that I want to add to my my chambers. For future battle reports. I don't really want to start the Slaanesh until the Lumineth have come out, but there's so much other stuff that I could be getting on with. Again, going back to terrain, painting some of that. So yeah, there's plenty in the backlog that can be painted. So that's my number one intention for the next few weeks. Your top choice, Matt?
To be fair, mine's very similar. So yeah, get some paint on stuff that has been kind of in the background that I've never got round to. So case in point, my Adeptus Titanicus army. It's always been on the back burner because there's always, you know, the next army we're doing for 40K or Sigmar. And I think it's a good chance, once I've done my Dunland, get some Titans painted up. Because it was really, we haven't played much Titanicus, but it was such a fantastic game.
The games we did play were brilliant, weren't they? And even Lee enjoyed it, didn't he? He really enjoyed that game as well, where you have a smaller number of models, so you can really go to town painting them and customizing them. And then the game system was really cool. And you actually felt like you were piloting one of these big titans around the battlefield with your little command console and moving power between the shields and things like that. Really, really cool.
Oh, go on, Dave.
I really want a game of Titanicus.
Well, once we've got these painted, I'll have enough engines to have a game with both of us, Dave. That is going to be fine. Cool. But yeah, so I want to get them painted. I want to kind of name them, and a bit like your one of your early choices, Dave. Give them some background and name the princeps and stuff, because I think Titanicus really lends itself to the kind of narrative side as well.
Yeah. Fab. Jay, just your top choice left.
So, you know, we're confined into the houses at the moment, into your apartments and your flats. You know, you can't really go out that much, but it's important to still get some fresh air when you can. So my top choice is to grab a book that you've been meaning to read from your Warhammer collection and sit in the garden for an hour or two and give it a good read. You know, there's no rush now. You've got a bit more time. You can enjoy yourself and just read a book.
That is excellent advice, Dave. AJ, that's a really nice one to end on.
I mean, we've got some great weather at the moment, you know. Make the most of it. It's not very often we get a lot of time in today's world to just do our own thing, is it? So,
you know what is really nice? Working from home is a nightmare, but I've been trying to kind of just go outside and just get some fresh air, and everything's just quiet, and you just hear the birds tweeting, and it's just strange at the background noise of, you know, life going on.
It's going to be, I mean... Yeah, it's a very serious situation we're in, and obviously people's lives and health and stuff are very important, but it is going to be a bit weird going back to normality in a few months' time with the hustle and bustle of, you know, 21st century life. It is quite weird, isn't it, to see how quiet it is and how... So, yeah, it's strange time.
Yeah. And on that very thoughtful... you know, commented to finish the top three.
Deep episode, this, isn't it?
It's very deep.
I imagine this is the feeling it's like just before the Tyranid Hive fleets start landing. You know,
when are the Gene Stealer cultists going to start appearing? Or have they already? Anyway, kind of ruined that thoughtful moment to finish that segment. So we're going to take a pause. We're going to come back with our main segment. You literally cannot escape it. The coronavirus has caused, well, can we say havoc with everybody's everyday lives as we have to adhere to government lockdowns, social distancing, and remembering to wash our hands. Which has put a stop to rolling dice with friends and so on. But we shouldn't be too disheartened, should we, guys? I mean, we've just had this week's top three where we've discussed different projects and stuff that we can do during isolation. So we thought we'd take this part of the podcast where we'd normally review something or talk about a big reveal or something like that, and instead just bring a bit of positivity and thought into, you know, the current situation we're in, really.
Yeah, so it is a big, big change. I've never known anything like this in my life. It's so kind of alien, really, isn't it?
The way I've been looking at it is, you know, we are of a generation where we've not lived through a world war. I'm not saying that this is the same, but it kind of makes you appreciate a little bit what it kind of might have been like during like a world war.
Yeah, I mean, it's very strange. And like you say, it's massively affected the hobby side, well, the gaming side of the hobby, hasn't it? Because, you know, even something as simple as going around to have a game of Warhammer, by law, we cannot do it anymore. Which, you know, some may think that'd hamper your kind of like passion and drive to get stuff painted and do some hobby stuff. I don't know, how have you guys kind of found the hobby during this time?
It's a tricky one for me because I've been so busy with work this last week. However, I think the longer this goes on, I don't know. I mean, I always find that Warhammer in games to be a bit of an escapism, something that, you know, you can just go to and unwind. So I actually think it's going to be a good thing to have there to help you sort of pass this time. And because you're never bored with Warhammer, if you're building a model or painting a model or reading an army book or playing a Warhammer game on the PC or something like that, you're never bored. So I think there's enough there to keep you entertained, even though we can't actually meet up and have a game.
Yeah, I mean, stocks of new models may start dwindling. I would recommend, if anyone wants anything, try and get them as soon as you can from independent retailers, maybe. But everybody in the hobby has got lots of kits they haven't built.
I was going to say, this is where, I won't throw that sprue away, you'll never know, I might need it in the future. All that hoard mentality that I've had for years and years and years has paid dividends now. There's no chance I'm going to run out of unpainted models or unbuilt models.
I might run out of known oil, though.
Oh, well, yeah, there is that, yeah. especially once I've spilt it.
Yeah.
One of my isolation regrets is not getting a tin of Lead Belcher before it sold out, and now I can't get it from anywhere.
Oh, no.
I've got some Lead Belcher, Dave. I'll attach it to my drone and fly it over to you later.
I'll give you a toilet roll for it.
Whoa, you can have all the null oil.
They're like gold dust now, aren't they?
What, for one tub of null oil? What's the ratio?
I thought you had a can. I'm sorry, I went after a track that offer. I was after a spray. I'll
turn around these toilet rolls for a pot.
Yeah, I think, what's cool for me is, like, I'm going to get this Necromunda gang painted in the next few days. And it'd be really cool. I'd be really looking forward to when I get to roll some dice and play with them. And I think it's great, you know, it's a great time to, like Jay said, you know, build and paint and enjoy that side of the hobby. Maybe if you listen to this podcast and you play a lot of games, but maybe you're not such a fan of painting them, this could be a great opportunity to, you know, try and allay those fears of painting and just have a go and practice. I mean, I used to be sitting in the camp of I hated painting so much. I never wanted to do it. I didn't find it enjoyable. I always was heavily criticizing my own work. But, you know, I put a bit more time into it and now really enjoy it. So now is the time really to pick up a paintbrush and, you know, mess around really and try different paint schemes, try the contrast paints, whatever you've got stock of really to try out. And, you know, you never know, you might find another part of the hobby that you really enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, the painting side is one of those parts where you do have to put practice in, but you don't have to necessarily paint them in the traditional way. There are ways, like contrast is a perfect example, where you can spray the model, you can just slap the contrast paints on without any highlighting, and you'll have a model that looks great on the table.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And in the same light, if you've never really converted anything anymore, well, you know, if you've got some spare sprues hanging around, see what you can create.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, Jay touched on this as well. Black Library have got, I don't know how many books it is. It's a lot of books they've got out there now. And majority of them are on Audible as well, if you prefer listening to them. I know you listen to audiobooks quite a lot, Jay, don't you?
Yeah, I'm a big convert to audio. I mean, I have a big collection of paper books as well. And for years and years and years, I've always been a big reader. But recently, just, you know, I walk to work every day. And I did try it for a while, believe it or not, reading books on the way to work. I did used to do that. I bumped into a couple of lampposts. But
I think you also nearly bumped into my wife once when you were reading your Kindle.
Yes. Well, I used to read the books. Then I got my Kindle, so I could just read the Kindle. And then I thought, no, I can't do this. I'm going to end up like walking in front of a lorry or something. So then I switched to Audible then and listened to the audiobooks. And, oh, yeah, fantastic. I mean, they're brilliant. And the narrator, the different narrators, they each bring their own style to the book. It's very, very cool. I've listened to quite a lot of the Horus Heresy books now through Audible, and it's a really, really good experience. I definitely recommend it.
Yeah, it's what, £7 a month, something like that? It's not bad at all, is it?
No, and you get one free credit a month, and sometimes there's offers on, you get a couple more free credits. So yeah, really, really good. And you build them up as well. So if it takes you a bit longer to listen to a book, you may find you've got a couple of credits in the bank by the time you get around to your next one.
Yeah, what I've really liked are the audio dramas. The Go Trek audio dramas I've done with Brian Blessed are amazing. I don't know if you guys listen to them yet.
I've listened to one of them. Yeah, they're more. Are they the dramas rather than the?
Yeah,
and that's a different experience altogether. Just as enjoyable. Yeah,
I want to try one of the audio dramas because I'm different to Jay. When I've always found it difficult to get on with audiobooks. I'm quite a slow reader, and I do find, I don't know if it's something to do with my. The way my mind works, but I tend to have to find myself going back a little bit sometimes just to refresh what's going on. So listening to an audiobook, I don't know, I struggle a little bit. Whereas a drama, I think I might get on a little bit better with. So I'll have to try one of those out. And another point, which is well worth mentioning as well, is obviously the term isolation and social distancing means that a lot of people, in particular, if you're sort of on your own, you might be kind of stuck with not being able to talk to anybody about the hobby. And that's where kind of social media and things come in. I mean, there's lots of people on Twitter that are showing off. I mean, we always show off our models and stuff on social media. But there seems to be more of that at the moment as people are kind of getting together and doing videos and doing live streams. Like you said, Matt, Warhammer TV are now live streaming from their homes to do the hangout in paint, which is really cool.
Yeah, I mean, we've got Warhammer community on Twitter now as well. They've been retweeting a lot of stuff. It's they've really embraced the kind of social media side, which is really good to see from Games Workshop.
Yeah. So I think there are a lot of positives that can come out of this, and obviously we do all hope that this isn't going to go on for a massive amount of time, but it's for the good of the cause, really, isn't it?
You're going to say the greater good there, Dave.
I should have said for the greater good, shouldn't I?
Greater good.
But yeah, so I mean, I hope it's over soon, just because otherwise Jay is going to be really disappointed if it's like Christmas until he gets his Lumina.
I mean, you have to put these things into perspective, don't you? But man, I was so looking forward to those elves. But never mind, you know.
You know what? Having a game with them will be even sweeter by the fact that we've got this period of time when we can't play any games with Warhammer.
Yeah, but imagine if I'd got them a week ago and then entering a 12-week isolation period with them all to build.
This is yep. True.
I'm going to put my detective hat on here for a moment. But there was a similar situation where Jay was really looking forward to something and it ended up getting delayed for a very long time. And that was a Sylvaneth.
It was a Sylvaneth, you're right.
As well, weren't they?
Is this your fault, Jay? Somehow.
Curse of Jay.
Yeah, basically, if Jay's really looking forward to a battle tome, we're not getting it anytime soon. No.
Some sort of global situation will arise, and we'll end up having to wait. I think the Sylvaneth release actually was probably good preparation for Games Workshop in regards to their release schedule. Because I don't think they'd ever really been hit with a delay like that before.
I mean, we don't know what happens behind the scenes, really, but I guess it's probably quite easy to chop and change the release schedule if you wait. You know, we don't know what's sat in warehouses and all that side of things. Mm. You know, there's no shelf life on them, so in theory, something could sit there for quite a long time. Obviously, it's not in their interest because essentially that's warehouse space that they're paying for, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Cool. Does anybody else have anything to add to this discussion before we wrap up?
Yeah, just that. I think Dave touched on it. The community on Twitter is really, really strong. So if you've not been part of that group, just look for friendly faces on Twitter. If you look at some of the people that we follow, and there's a lot of interaction between some of the you know, the main names that you see on YouTube and Twitter and stuff, and kind of a nice close-knit community around it, which is really nice to see at a time like this.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. You don't have to feel alone in the hobby during this. There's lots of people who'll chat to you and discuss army ideas, you know, maybe paint schemes, things like that. Yeah. There's
and if anyone does cool fancy game when all this blows over and fancies battering the three of us, because that's what normally happens, yeah, shout out. Give us a shout.
Yeah.
We'll line up to get battered by you.
Brilliant. Right. We've not quite finished with this week's podcast, because we are going to be reading out your top threes next. And so, on to our final segment of this week's podcast, where we take to social media to read out your top three picks. I'm going to start us off this week over on Facebook. Ian Redfern starts off with his third choice. Listen to all the books I skipped in Horus Heresy and all the Primarch books. Audible will make a killing. Have either of you two read the Primarch books?
I haven't, no. I've read most of the Heresy books, and obviously the Siege of Terror, but I've not read the Primarch ones. And I think they're supposed to be pretty good, aren't they?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind doing that myself. His second choice was finish painting all my Conquest stuff. 80 issues worth of plastic. There you go, that's what you need. That's a backlog.
Yeah.
And his top choice is finally paint all my Blackstone Fortress figures and play all the add-on scenarios. Now, Matt, did I spot on social media that you started painting your Blackstone Fortress, actually?
I have, yeah, because it's the same thing. I wanted to get them ready for the Zote expansion, so definitely get them all done by the time that comes out.
Brian Dennis, his third choice, some Chaos Warriors for my Age of Sigmar Khorne army. His second choice is a couple of Chaos Knights. And his top choice is a Blood Raven's Force. 1,000 points, hopefully, for an event in August. So nice idea. Plan for a future tournament. Ian Spear, his third choice, watch lots of Deployment Zone TV battle reports. I don't think I've watched them before. I'll check those out. Second choice, strip the paint off my red World Eaters and paint them in Horus Heresy colours.
Nice.
They're white, aren't they, in Horus Heresy?
White and blue, yeah.
And his top choice is paint my Demon Prince, Maul the Fiend, and Disco Lord in World Eaters Heresy colours.
Nice.
Finally on Facebook, Dean Palmer, third choice, finally finish a White Dwarf before the next one comes out. I'm guilty of that. There are some segments which I should really read and don't. His second choice is tidy and organise my messy hobby space. And his top choice is improve my terrain building skills.
Nice.
Over to you, Matt.
Cool. Well, over on Twitter, Mr. Andy Wood has got 3,000 points of Tzeentch to do. So he's building as much of that as he can, and he'll paint it later. Tzeentch, Andy, that sounds a bit filthy. reading at least 2 battle tomes, codexes as part of his hobby challenge, and organizing all his hobby stuff, for example, getting rid of old and dry paints. Yeah, I need to have a bit of a source because my hobby desk is currently looking like a tip. Put a picture on Twitter the other day and it was, it needs some work. The Rising Ape finished my Tiny Planes. Now, I actually looked on Element Games today to see if I could order the Aeronautica starter box, and sadly it's out of stock. So that put me in a bad mood for the rest of the day then. Work on his homebrew Storm Host and getting as many games of Warcry and Underworlds with the kids. That's not a bad shout.
Yeah.
Mike Lodes, tidy and sort his painting desk, a lot of reading of the Horus Heresy series to catch up as much as possible, and Head Knights of Slaanesh. Got a lot built and sprayed, but nothing painted yet. Craig Sinclair wants to start a Death Guard army, get 1,000 points of Sisters painted, and paint his Goliaths. Excellent. Tom Landy, Specialist Games, 2 Necromunda gangs and 3 Blood Bowl teams, a 40k Chaos army, 30k Night Lords, and 1,000 Suns. That's a lot of stuff to paint.
That is a lot of stuff to paint. He's obviously preparing for the worst case scenario.
But he's never in it for a long haul.
Quite a long time, yeah.
no messing around there. Mousebait says everything, but more likely building the Stomper. I believe she's built the Stomper. I think there were some pictures on Twitter the other day. And painting it, that counts as 2. And then Orcs or Orc Planes, it's hard to decide. And finally, Daz Wardener. Work on 4th to 8th edition Warhammer High Elf Cities of Sigmar army, using old plastic monopose archers and the sky cutter as a hurricanum. Nice, that sounds really good.
Yeah, cool. Sounds awesome, that does. Excellent. Yeah,
that's some nice replies there.
Matt, what is next week's top three?
Well, next week we're running on a similar theme here. What three things do you not want to run out of while on lockdown?
This will be a good one, because by this point in the week, we might have run out of a few things.
We might have done, yeah. It'll be a shopping list rather than top three.
Fantastic. Right. I think that brings us to the end of another podcast. We hope you all stay safe, and we'll be back again for a brand new episode next week. If in the meantime you do want to get in touch with your top threes, or you just want to have a chat, show off what you're doing whilst you're locked in your home, do share your painting stuff in all your armies via social media. All links are provided at the end of the podcast. We'd love to see them, and we'll be back again next week. Bye.
See you later.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Sprues and Brews podcast. If you like what you've been listening to, please do give us a share and a comment if you're listening via Apple Podcasts. For further content, please check out spruesandbrews.com, and you can contact us on Twitter @spruesandbrews or over on Facebook, facebook.com/spruesandbrews.